scripture this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, 12 to 19, and also a passage from Philippians. Reading from John. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hail to the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead. And they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." And reading from Philippians 2, 6 to 11. Though he was God, Jesus did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. Seems like just a moment ago we were gathered together celebrating Christmas and acknowledging that Christmas isn't complete without Easter, and here we are now at the cusp of Holy Week, looking toward the purpose for which Christ came to the earth. But it does us good to remember the position of Jesus prior to his ever coming to earth, prior to his being born. Though he was God, sometimes we forget that Jesus was God and that he gave up his divine privileges. He took that humble position of a slave and was born a human being. I mean, just imagine for a moment what that means. That Jesus, as God, is bearing all the power and all the wisdom and all the authority that God has, and he set it aside to humble himself, to become a man, to become a vulnerable baby with no power and no wisdom and no authority. The closest equivalent that I can think of is this: it would be as though we would become an ant so that we could communicate with the ants. That's the degree to which Christ gave up everything to come to become a man, to redeem us and to reveal the Father to us. As Jesus grew, for the most part, his life was a little incognito. There was no attention to him, at least nothing recorded but one story, until his public ministry, where he faced opposition and ridicule and betrayal and ultimately death at the hands of the very ones he created. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And that is a horrible, brutal, torturous death. We clean it up oftentimes for our own sake. And expressed mostly, he was nailed to a cross, which is horrible enough. But sometimes we don't spend any time really realizing all that Jesus went through before the final act of being nailed to the cross. Don't lose the significance of this. Don't lose the significance of Jesus giving up this position of divinity, how much he loved the world, that he was willing to become a man and to pay that horrible, brutal, torturous death to cover the debt of our sin. He covered the debt of the sins of the very ones that were nailing him, flogging him, punching him, and all the things that he went through. But that day is to come. Today's a day of celebration. There's excitement. On this day, as Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, Jerusalem is a hustle and a bustle with activity, as many Jews living outside of Jerusalem have traveled into Jerusalem to participate in the Passover in the city. This is their tradition, and they come from far away and from near, and they fill the city. Normally, it is quite exciting. The atmosphere would be charged, but it's even more so on this particular day because of Jesus. He's causing quite a stir, and the word has rapidly spread about his raising Lazarus from the dead. Imagine if you heard, hey, you know that guy that's been, you know, roaming around doing miracles and stuff and healing people? He brought a man back from the dead. Wouldn't you want to go and see this person for yourself? And so they were looking for Jesus. They wanted to encounter him. When they heard that he was coming to Jerusalem, it went wild. But not everyone was delighted to see Jesus. The Sanhedrin, which is the governing body of the temple, were very nervous. We read in John 11, the leading priests and Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we going to do? They asked each other. This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. Then the Roman army will come and destroy both our temple and our nation. Caiaphas, who was the high priest at the time, said, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than for the whole nation to be destroyed. Of course, he was saying we should kill Jesus and save ourselves. But his words were really prophetic, because that was exactly what Jesus was intending to do. One man to die for the rest of the world. But from this moment, the chief priests and Pharisees began plotting to take Jesus' life. John 11:57, the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it. Their intention was then that they would go and arrest Jesus. This is the context in which Jesus is entering Jerusalem. He is fully aware of the opposition that he faces. And he came riding in on a donkey, just like the prophecy said he would. And as soon as he was spotted, word spread that he was coming in the eastern gate, and everyone raced to see him. And as they ran toward him, they grabbed branches from the palm trees. They laid their coats before him to honor him. They greeted him as though he were the king of Israel. For in their hearts, that's what they thought he was coming to do. And they shouted praise, and they shouted Hosanna, which means, Lord, grant salvation. or save us now. And they shouted, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which means that they were recognizing that Jesus is coming with God's authority, God's purpose, and God's blessing. They were acknowledging in these shouts that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the one who would bring salvation and establish God's kingdom. They were acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, the one who has power, authority, or influence, the Master. And by the time word reached the Pharisees that Jesus was coming in the eastern gate, the crowd was too thick around Jesus for them to make any attempt at seizing him. And they were very much afraid of the crowds. So the Pharisees kind of looked at each other and just, there's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him. The children that gathered, the people, the children of Israel who gathered, the Jewish people around Jesus, they thought this was the Messiah's moment. But their expectations were wrong. We know that many in this crowd will change their cries of Hosanna to cries of crucify him. But a day is coming, a day that we look forward to, when at the name of Jesus, every knee, there is no exception, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue, no exceptions, will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The church should already be shouting, Jesus Christ is Lord, because God has elevated him to the place of highest honor and has given him the name above all other names. Jesus Christ is Lord. But Christian, is he your Lord? Have you given him that place of honor in your life? To proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord means that you acknowledge him as the ultimate authority in your life, and letting him guide your choices and decisions. You can tell if Jesus is Lord of your life by observing your willingness to obey God's word, to live out your faith. And you're experiencing his guidance in all aspects of your life, especially when it's challenging. When Jesus is Lord of your life, you'll find yourself seeking to live in alignment with God's principles and teachings found in the Bible. This includes being willing to do things that you might not naturally want to do, but you do them because you know that they are pleasing to the Lord. You'll begin to notice God's guidance in your life, making decisions that align with his will and purpose, even if they're not something you might initially desire. Your life will be a reflection of your faith in Jesus. You'll be motivated to share your faith with others, to show love and compassion, and to strive to live a life that glorifies God. You'll feel closer to God and experience his peace and joy more deeply, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. I think for many Christians, they hold this phrase lightly, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when things get hard, they want to take back that authority over their lives. Jesus is Lord until he asks us to give up something we don't want to give up, to let go of something we don't want to let go of, to change something we don't really want to change. But they say Jesus is Lord for as long as it is convenient. But when sacrifice and surrender are required, we declare a new master ourselves. The people in the crowd on this day praised Jesus as Lord, but they abandoned him when he didn't live up to their expectations of the Messiah. You see, he didn't storm the palace, defeat the Romans, and set the Jewish people free. That's what they thought the Messiah was coming to do. What expectations do we put on Jesus? I mean, some people trust Jesus to make their lives better and easier and trouble-free, but when that doesn't happen, they shove Jesus to the side, say, well, that didn't work. They abandoned their faith because Jesus didn't live up to their expectations. Their expectations were skewed, self-serving. Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Not you might or you may, but you will. And then he said, cheer up, because I've overcome the world. What conditions do we set on Jesus' lordship? Are there areas of our lives that we hold back? We let Jesus be Lord over many things, but there are some things we just hold on to. We try to share the throne. And Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. The reality is that making Jesus Lord is not just a one-time event, but it's a continuous journey of surrendering, seeking his guidance, and striving to live in obedience to his will. It's a daily adventure. And that's awesome, because every day is a new day and God's mercies are new every morning. So all we need to do is determine every morning to make Jesus the Lord of that day. And then do that the next day. And the day after that. And before you know it, you are in the habit of living as Jesus is your Lord. Will there be days we get it wrong? Of course. But that's not a period. It's a comma. We have another day coming. So tomorrow will be better. The next hour will be better. Surrender is an ongoing thing. And then eventually, one day, we just discover that we're there. We're at that place where Jesus is always Lord, where our wills are aligned, and we look back and can hardly imagine where we'd come from. And the one thing for sure that will happen for all, you won't look back and regret that you have done that. Because the life that Jesus offers, he tells us, is the abundant life. The life pressed down and full and overflowing. And that's not with stuff. That's with the things that matter. With joy and peace and contentment and fulfillment and meaning. That's the life that Jesus offers us. So let's make him the Lord. One day at a time. Every day. Go forth in the name of Christ, who entered Jerusalem on a lowly donkey, to serve with humility and love. And may the strength of the Holy Spirit empower you to rejoice in this very day that God has made. God's love endures forever. Amen.